This is Mark Ancoffs America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our guest in the last hour was Nathan Tabor, the author of The Beast on the East River, the UN, and its threat to America's sovereignty. Nathan, are you still on the line? I don't think you are. I was just double-checking. Okay. Just wanted to thank him for being on the show. And, you know, dealing with some of the things that John raised from Florida in these last segments of the last hour, these are important issues that John raises, because when we go back again and look at the whole issue of incrementalism, it seems abundantly clear that over the course of the last however many years, the so-called American right, as well as the American left, has been bought off by the internationalist movement. And we have now reached a point, and the illegal immigration issue is just one example of it, where what we had in 1992 is 2 to 3 million illegals. Is now arguably between 15 and 20 million. The last caller cited a figure of 30 million. Who knows, maybe it is that high. But suffice it to say that the illegal immigration issue is just a microcosm of the much larger difficulty inherent in the way in which the internationalists and the globalists have forced the United States into a position that is quite clearly resulting in the end of what we have known of this country as a traditional nation state. Nathan Tabor said several things on the show that I'd like to discuss in this last hour, at least for a portion of it. You can give me a call at 1-800-313-9443, by the way. That's 1-800-313-9443 if you have any questions or comments. And before I get back to my critique of what Nathan said in the last hour, I'd like to mention that the Republic Broadcasting Network is certainly an entity that is worthy of your support to the extent that you're able to do so. You can contact us with your gifts at rbnlive.com or at 1-800-724-2719. If you'd like to support the Republic Broadcasting Network to keep us afloat in terms of battling what is going on with corporate media and the drive toward globalism, you can certainly do that at rbnlive.com. as well as at 1-800-724-2719. Second housekeeping item of business. You can have a new Republic Broadcasting Network T-shirt. Those are available by contacting us at rbnlive.com or at notyranny.com, or again using 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. You can also have Aaron Russo's new DVD, America, Freedom to Fascism, for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling. That's available by contacting us at rbnlive.com or at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. That Russo DVD is yours for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling. And before I get into my critique of what was said in the last hour, Mike from Minnesota's on the line. Go ahead, sir.
Sir. Hello?
Yes, go ahead, Mike.
I just had a quick comment to make. Patrick Henry did not give his life. Patrick Henry lost his life. Do you understand the difference?
I don't know if I do or not. Enlighten me, seriously.
Okay. I regret I only have one life to lose. It was taken from him when he didn't give it. It was taken.
Yes, interesting. And, you know, what do you think this portends, Mike, in terms of what might be the rather vulnerable position of the rest of us in the beginning portion of the 21st century who opposed the New World Order? Stay on the line. We'll get back to that. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can give me a call today at 1-800-313-9443. Back with Mike from Minnesota when I come back.
Do you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Mark Dantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our guest in the previous hour was Nathan Tabor, the author of a new book entitled The Beast on the East River, The UN Threat to America's Sovereignty. I agreed with much of what he had to say. I would take charitable, strenuous disagreement with a couple of other things that he said, chiefly in the area of Jesse Helms. And also the central role, it seems to me, that is played by the Jewish lobby in the United States in supporting the institutions of a new world order, including the UN. But I'll get back to that shortly. We have a caller on the line. Mike, you still there? Okay. Jim from Texas, you're on the line with Mark Dankoff. Go ahead, Jim.
Discussing this fellow's book, I mean, it's a typical book by a person that's dancing around the edges of the problem. The problem isn't the UN. The UN's controlled by the same people that set it up, Roosevelt and his cronies, most of who were Jewish and about half of who were communists. And the thing is, since its inception, has been set up that way, so there's no hope for that. It's just like the American left and American right, both controlled by the same people, control the news media. They control everything. So, you know, talking about having politicians get us out of the UN is about the dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
Well,
you can't
I would have
any.
I'd have to agree with you, Jim. You're touching upon some of the areas where I had the most strenuous disagreement with Nathan, and unfortunately, if he had been able to stay for a second hour, I would have had the opportunity, in the proper spirit, in terms of journalistic decency, to take him on some of this. That was my concern as well.
Yeah, well, that's understandable, but you have, not you specifically, but the talk radio has guest after guest, and nobody ever gets them down to the nitty-gritty. Who controls all these people? That explains everything when you ask who controls this.
Well, that's right, and I think it depends on what grid we use to read history with. I certainly felt, and the reason that I asked him about his own feeling about the state of Israel and the Jewish lobby is because he indicated that he had gone to Regent College, and if that's the Regent College that I think it is up in Canada, it quite clearly is a part of a larger nexus of Christian largely dispensational schools that have had an inordinate role to play in the support of many people in the so-called American Christian right for the state of Israel. And I would argue, again trying to be fair about it, but at the same time underscoring that I think you're correct on the issue, that to me is absolutely pivotal in developing the larger philosophical understanding for who and what is behind all of this. And until one has that understanding, it seems to me that we're largely grasping at straws.
Absolutely. And by the way, just this fellow's name tells me that he might be one of the chosen, going by his first and his last name. I don't know for sure, but if he's not, he's a Shabbos Goy, which is the same difference. So,
well,
anyway.
I don't know Nathan, and it's impossible for me to judge his heart and where he's truly coming from. But getting back to something that I was discussing on the show some days ago with Jackie, and I was talking about it at lunch yesterday with an individual in San Antonio, very nice person who is a supporter of both the Republic Broadcasting Network and also the American Free Press. This guy and I were talking about the extent to which in our own individual lives we had been duped for a number of years in regard to the larger issues that surround this whole issue of globalism and the New World Order. And it may well be, and I don't know Nathan Tabor, but it may well be that he is an individual who, much like myself at an earlier stage of my life, is largely a person who is at one level a good conservative of the heart, who nonetheless, in my view, is wrong on some biblical issues, and that's just a different perspective, of course. Being respectful to him, I would take strenuous issue with the brand of dispensational premillennial Bible prophecy that seems to undergird some of Nathan's thinking. The other thing is that in American political and cultural circles, it's considered to be absolutely taboo to discuss the role of the Israeli lobby in the Jewish constituency in supporting a whole host of left-wing measures across the board, up to and including the United Nations, and up to and including, just as one example, the United Nations' role in supporting the so-called population control. There's a disproportionate amount of Jewish personal, logistical, and financial support for many of these activities, and that money trail, while the knowledge of it is incomplete, I think what we do know can corroborate statistically what it is that I'm talking about here, and I suspect that would be your point of view as well.
Absolutely, but there's a lot of people, most people don't know that, like, for instance, the European Union, in order for any of the new states coming in from Eastern Europe, before they allow them in, first they must pass or promise to pass Holocaust denial laws. Did you know that?
Yes, I had heard this and had read it, and I think, again, whatever one believes about the Holocaust in terms of the statistics of it, I am not a knowledgeable person in that area, but Mark Weber of the Institute for Historical Review, of course, was on this show some days ago talking about this whole issue of the Holocaust, not particularly as far as quantifying the number of people who did or did not perish in those terrible days of World War II in Nazi Germany. But the whole way in which the Holocaust itself has been used to develop, in my view, and I suspect Weber would agree with this too, to develop a mythology that enables Jewish power in this country, financial, political, economic, and media, to go largely unchallenged. And one of the ways, in my view, that they have been most successful in infiltrating American society has been doing it through publications once deemed to be quote-unquote conservative publications, and the way in which they have co-opted much of American Protestant Christianity for the support of these activities. And this is the area where I think I would take the biggest issue with Nathan Tabor in regard to the battleground on which he chooses to fight, which I think is a battleground that has an incomplete philosophical understanding and historical understanding, to the whole Jewish dimension to this. One other thing that you cited, Jim, that comes to my mind in this regard as well, and that's the whole issue of ballot box optimism. You know, when I consider the number of years that I wasted in conventional conservative political activism in this country, and the extent to which I bought the ballot box mentality that governs the thinking of so many people in our contemporary society, and the extent to which I thought that the election of people like Jesse Helms, the Republican senator, ex-Republican senator from North Carolina, that the election of people like this would somehow save the Republic, that looks increasingly naive, increasingly dumb, if you want to put it that way, and I'm attaching that label to myself, to no one else here, in regard to the extent to which even with an individual like Helms, he was co-opted by the very forces that you cite. And I think Michael Collins Piper's chapter 31 of his book, The Judas Goats, goes a long way towards showing who and what was behind Jesse Helms' increasing accommodationist thinking with the UN in the last 20 years of his career, and the extent to which that was linked up to what provably, in my view, was Helms' co-optation by the Israeli lobby somewhere between 1982 and 1984, at least as Mike Piper cites it. And I think Mike makes a pretty compelling case that that is, in fact, what happened with Helms.
Well, you're right about all that, but the thing is that a lot of people don't realize that the way they control Europe, United Nations, NATO, everything,
yes,
the whole United States government, and they're practically in a position of being a state religion in all the Western world. When it comes to a point that you can't say anything about these people or their control in Europe, or you'll go to jail, in Canada you'll go to jail, in Australia you go to jail. And pretty soon they're working on it, having said that way here. It becomes a state religion. You can deny God, you can deny anything you want in Europe, but you can't deny the Holocaust.
Well, that's,
and in
that's
Canada exact... is the same way. In Canada, you can't even say anything bad about homosexuals or say you disagree with them. There's a fellow there named Richard Warman that'll haul you into court and get you fined and maybe a year or so in jail if you say anything bad about it or say I disagree with it.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. And certainly the David Irving and Zundel cases make it abundantly clear that this is what's going on. And the frightening aspect of it to me is that if this type of so-called hate crimes legislation is going on just across the border in Canada, and if it's being applied in Western Europe, as it certainly is, as it's being applied in Australia, as it certainly is, you can argue that it's just a matter of time till the proponents of this view that hate crimes legislation ought to be impacted upon the American public, that point of view eventually wins out, which I find to be utterly terrifying, because regardless of what you think about Irving and Zundel, regardless of what you think about the numbers that are cited in this Holocaust debate and the way in which that Holocaust debate is being used by the Israeli lobby to promote a lot of things that no conservative or no Christian should support, nonetheless, at least up to now in the United States, we have had a debate, even if those of us on the other side of the divide from the Israeli lobby have been a somewhat marginalized minority. At least up to now, we've been able to talk about it. I think your point is well taken, that that could shortly change if this hate crimes legislation becomes a reality. Stay on the line, Jim, if you get a chance. This is Mark Dankoff, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN network.
Across America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our guest between 8 and 9 a.m. this morning Central Time was Nathan Tabor, the Beast on the East River, the U.N. threat to America's sovereignty. Jim, you still on the line?
Yeah, sure am.
Well, you know...
By the way, I don't know if you know it or not, but our federal hate crimes legislation has already been introduced by Sheila Jackson Lee, Democrat from Houston, on, I believe, January the 5th. And it's my
understanding. I read this last night. That is correct. I read that last night that she had introduced that. And quite clearly, it seems to me, once again, that the purpose of this hate crimes legislation, in my judgment, is quite clearly to criminalize free speech. You know, when it comes, for example, to certain types of things that are directed against racial minority groups and homosexuals and Jews and things of this sort, those things, quite properly, when we're talking about murder, rape, desecration of property, all of these other things, these things are crimes in this country, regardless of who perpetrates them, and regardless of to whom these criminal acts are directed. That's not an issue. For me, the issue with this hate crimes legislation is an attempt to criminalize not only free speech, but to criminalize thought. And I think your point is well taken, that when you look at the Irving case, you look at the Zundel case, and it's something else that I had looked at this morning from the Australian, where I'm quoting a paragraph from the Australian newspaper, and you can find this story at later, probably at Breaking All the Rules News. I'll try to post this, but the title of it is Australian Jewish Leader Seeks Prison for quote-unquote Denier Tobin. Holocaust revisionist Friedrich Tobin is unable to find a lawyer to defend him against allegations he has raised, quote, serious doubt, unquote, about the Holocaust on his Adelaide Institute website. In a subpoena served on Monday night, Jeremy Jones, the former president of the Executive Council of Australian Jewry, asked the federal court to jail Dr. Tobin for breaching four-year-old court orders because his website suggests that, quote, it is unlikely that there were homicidal gas chambers at Auschwitz, unquote. Mr. Jones also alleges the website imputes that Jewish people who were offended by Holocaust denial or challenged Dr. Tobin's theories were, quote, of limited intelligence, unquote. Now, regardless of what one thinks about the opinions that are expressed in this paragraph that I just read, it seems to me that in any free society, any society which purports to defend freedom at all, would say that the criminal prosecution of a person for saying these things on his website is not only absurd, it's absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, but the problem here is that guess who gets to decide what's hate speech? The ADL in conjunction with the Justice Department and FBI, they meet with them all the time. They're the arbiters of what hate speech is. So guess who's going to be disallowed from having anything bad said about them? I wonder who. It's just like you remember the case in Philadelphia where those Christians were proselytizing the gay parade people?
Yeah, I was living in Philadelphia when that was going on. Absolutely.
And the prosecutor there was trying to throw them in jail for 47 years for exercising their free speech, and people don't think it can happen here. Fortunately, a judge threw it out, but it's just fortunately.
Well, and as you point out in reference to this case in Philadelphia, the mere fact that something could even be entertained as a notion in the American legal system going into something like this is in and of itself terrifying. And this again raises the question that we've talked about at earlier points on the show today and at other times, the whole issue of incrementalism. When you look at this nexus that the ADL and the FBI have set up, I was saying to somebody yesterday at lunch that years ago when I was a radio broadcaster in a 50,000-watt Christian radio station in Seattle, I was once approached by the regional director of the Anti-Defamation League up there, at that time having no understanding whatsoever as to what that type of an approach might mean. But he freely gave me a file on the Reverend Ted Pike of the National Prayer Network, who has been a guest on this show. There were portions of the file that were deleted so that I couldn't read everything that was in the document, but what I did have in front of me was certainly representative of what the ADL was looking into when it comes to the Reverend Ted Pike, and that this document was provably distributed to every regional director of the Anti-Defamation League in the United States. And I remember looking through this file, and certainly there was nothing in it that hinted at all of any legitimate concerns about the Reverend Pike as far as criminal activities or anything of this sort. They simply didn't like what he was saying. And the notion that they had compiled a file on him, that they had distributed this thing to their regional directors around the country, and presumably were asking their own people and supporters to, in some way, to act on this information that was being disseminated is a fairly chilling thought. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned. You can also give me a buzz at 1-800-313-9443. I'll wrap things up with Jim after the break and then take another caller. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle. And today, you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill.
I'm going there right now. Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our guest today between 8 and 9 a.m. Central Standard Time was Nathan Tabor, the author of The Beast on the East River, The U.N. Threat to America's Sovereignty. Again, I think Nathan does not have it down correctly on the Israeli lobby or the Zionist State of Israel, politically or theologically. And I think in terms of Jesse Helms, take a look if you've not seen it, have not read it already, at chapter 31 of Michael Collins Piper's book, The Judas Goats. Why was it that Jesse Helms changed his position on Israel between 1982 and 1984? What role did the Zionist media billionaire S.I. Newhouse play in this? How is the Anti-Defamation League connected to this? Who is Bob Jacobs, a New York-based businessman who was supporting Helms financially from the early 1980s onward, who had links, direct links, to the Jewish Defense League. In terms of Helms, why was it that the Israeli lobby wanted to unseat Charles Percy, the Republican from Illinois? Obviously, they managed to do so for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is that Percy was a very unbending critic of Israel, to use Michael Collins Piper's words. when Jesse Helms succeeded Chuck Percy as the GOP chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, what role did Helms play from that time on forward in supporting the Zionist agenda? And did the support of that Zionist agenda on the part of Jesse Helms have something to do with what became a different position of Helms from arguably 1996 onward in his support for the UN? Mike Piper makes reference to the fact that in the September-October 1996 issue of Foreign Affairs, the Journal of the infamous Council on Foreign Relations, the Internationalist Pressure Group, of course, that we've talked a lot about on this show, that Helms began in that article talking about UN reform, quote-unquote. What was Helms' role in conjunction with both Bill Clinton and Ambassador Richard Holbrooke in supporting the movements in 2000 and 2001, not simply to support the UN ultimately and to attack Pat Buchanan in his presidential efforts, but what was behind Helms' trip between April 17th and 19th of 2001, where he took the entire Senate Foreign Relations Committee, of which Helms was chairman, to a trip to Mexico? Was that trip a precursor to what happened in March of 2005 related to the Security and Prosperity Partnership Agreement of North America, hammered out by Fox and President Bush and by the then Prime Minister of Canada? The point is that when you read Chapter 31 of Mike Piper's book, The Judas Goats, you'll see very quickly that Jesse Helms was co-opted by both the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission and the Bilderberg. Jesse Helms, quite provably, as a part of that whole process, became an Israeli asset in the United States Senate from 1984 onward. Why is that so? I think Mike Piper goes a long way toward giving us the bigger picture, part of the big picture, of course, that Jim has been talking about here in recent minutes. You still on, Jim?
I'd like to give one more quick example for the people.
Sure.
As to what's probably going to happen here. It was just recently in Canada, there was a guy that all he did, his total crime was he wrote letters to his representatives in the parliament up there complaining about their immigration policy and the fact that they're flooding Canada with third world immigrants, and that's it. He didn't make any threats, he didn't do anything else. He just told them, you're ruining our country with these third world immigrants. Well, the politicians turned him over to the Canadian Human Rights Tribunal, which is what we're going to end up having here, and this fellow ended up serving 9 months in jail and I think a $10,000 fine simply for writing his congressman and complaining about the immigration policy. That's how bad it can get.
Sure, and what is amazing to me is the extent to which when you examine this, Canada is not a third world country. Canada is just across the border. There are partners, as it were, in this dreadful North American Union that is coming. When you think that this sort of thing is happening there, it begs the question as to who and what is behind this thing that Sheila Jackson Lee just introduced in the House in regard to hate crimes legislation. We are talking about the criminalization of thought and the criminalization of what Americans have always understood to be basic free speech rights under the First Amendment. I don't think there's any question about it. And when you start talking about incarceration, when you start talking about the loss of economic livelihood, when you start talking about intimidation and overt or covert threats of force being used against a person for speaking his or her mind on certain subjects, this truly is a brave new world. No doubt about it, Jim.
Yeah, and the thing is, people don't realize there's no way you can merge the United States, Canada, and Mexico together and keep our First Amendment rights. There's no way. In Mexico, they don't have any. In Canada, they have none. And so there's no way we can merge these countries together and us keep ours. So in order for them to merge the three countries, they have to get rid of our freedom of speech, which is what they're working on day and night. So,
well, I don't think there's any question about it. This is the trend. And I think in conjunction with the globalization of military police forces and the imposition of UN taxes and the globalist regulation, Zionist regulation of the Internet, that all of this dovetails into an ominous picture in conjunction with this hate crimes thing, I don't think there's a doubt about it. You take those three or four elements that we've been talking about here and present the whole thing as a package, and we are talking about the imposition of a diabolical police state, no doubt about it.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, thanks for taking my call.
Hey, thank you, Jim. Take care now. Mm-hmm. Melissa, you on the line for Mark Dankoff? Go ahead.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I have two separate points, so let me get the lesser one out of the way first.
Sure.
That would be that Pat Buchanan is Knights of Malta, and he has controlled opposition. He's reading from a script. Maybe he even believes some of what he's doing, but he is still totally controlled. You can't be a member of a secret society and not be part of them.
That's a real issue, isn't it? And
yes.
I worked as a volunteer for Pat Buchanan in 1992 and 1996 when he was involved in the Republican primaries in those days. And I think when you look at the particularly the Buchanan of the last decade or so it's really problematic, isn't it? That on the one hand, he will say things in print that are exactly the sort of things that you or I might say about some of these issues. And yet when you watch him on cable television, he can turn around and look a lot more like the Republican establishment. I suggest that there's something going on here with this that is not as it should be. And as you identify this Knights of Malta membership, that has come up time and time again in Buchanan's biography in regard to how an Orthodox Christian of any stripe would belong to a secret organization, a secret society. This is a big issue, isn't it?
Yes. Well, when he was running for president, when he was, you know, trying to become the Republican, was it, or whatever, he was libertarian, something, back in 2000 or so.
Yeah, he was running on the Reform Party ticket at that time. And I was running for the U.S. Senate in those days in 2000 on the Constitution Party line. And I remember that race well because I ended up getting, in Delaware, the combined vote total for Pat Buchanan on the Reform ticket and Howard Phillips on the Constitution, all the people that apparently voted for either of those guys in the presidential race in Delaware voted for me for U.S. Senate to the meager total of 1,041 votes, for the record. But you know what's funny? It was a standing joke on the East Coast in those days. Pat Buchanan had $12 million in federal matching funds, and I beat him in the vote totals in Delaware with literally no money. So that, I don't know what that says, but go ahead.
Okay, well, he was saying all the right things then, to the point where I stood up off the couch and was saying, oh my gosh, he's saying the right things. You know, I was so impressed with what he said, but then when I realized he's Knights of Malta, oh well, forget that. Okay, on to the more important subject. In James 3:16, it says, where there is envying and strife, there is confusion in every evil work. And if you look at that word confusion, I looked in my Geneva Bible just a minute ago, the 1560 edition, and
You sound like a good Calvinist, but go ahead.
No, I am. Oh, God, no, please don't.
Oh, okay,
oh,
I'm sorry.
That is an insult.
I'm teasing. Oh. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. No, I am a purist when it comes to looking at what does the word say. And doing my best with the research materials that I have to understand God's purpose. And so anyway, the word confusion is translated sedition in the Geneva Bible. And when you look at that word confusion, it can be the usurping of authority, the unlawful, unrightful usurping of authority. And then that would lead me to Genesis chapter 12. Verse 3, where it says, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, and in thee all shall families of the earth be blessed. That is the cry of so-called Israel, claiming that they have, that if you curse them, you'll be cursed. And that was to Abraham. And even in the margin of the Geneva Bible, it said that that blessing will be Christ, to replace the first Adam who lost it. So even then, in 1560, they understood it was the coming Christ that was promised to Abraham, as it says in Galatians 5:16, I think, or 3. Well, it's in the Galatians anyway. I'm a little confused on my numbers there, but
that's all right.
It the whole thing was not Israel. And I'm so thankful for Israel keeping the written word all through the centuries. But they need an upgrade. They need to get, you know, with the new program and upgrade to something called the New Testament and understand that it was Christ that was promised, not that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then Israel. The only reason I see for Israel was to keep one bloodline pure, and out of that bloodline, you know, not mixing with the pagan races, and I am not a racist, I am not one of those separatists, but the whole reason was so that Christ could be born out of a certain bloodline, and it would have been a pure bloodline so that he could actually accomplish what he was born to do. And, you know, anyone who rejects the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to stand in judgment. Anyone who accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they are considered righteous. They have the righteousness of God. And when judgment is being performed then, and the great accuser, the adversary, stands there and says, well, I saw Melissa do this, this, and this, then Jesus Christ will step in between me and the great judge, the Father, and say, no, I paid for that, remember? And I am found righteous because of Christ. So, I mean, I would that all men would come to a knowledge of the truth and be saved. And I know that's not going to happen, but my heart goes out to so-called true spiritual Israel that they've missed their Messiah. And I know that if someone's recording me somewhere with the ADL, I am now a step higher on that list because they don't want to hear that Jesus Christ is the answer. And I'm sorry.
I don't think there's any question about it, Melissa. And as you look at this from the standpoint of traditional Christian theism, the notion, the contemporary notion, I would argue the absurd notion, perpetrated by most dispensationalists, or if not all dispensationalists, that the Zionist state of Israel is the Israel of the New Testament,
is
provably ridiculous.
Mark,
you just
ran into one. I am a true pre-trib dispensationalist, and I do not agree with the nation state of Israel. It is a false Israel, and it is they've always whored after other gods. And here it is again, this so-called Israel standing up and saying they're right and setting up this world. And I don't think they're at the top. I think that the Jesuits and the Zionists and certain other factions are all working together, and I'm not sure who's the boss of who, but this nation state of Israel is an absolute abomination to God.
Yes, because
they're supposed to wait for Messiah to come and give them back their land. Well, they rejected him the first time around, or they would have already had it.
Right. So you've identified. I stand corrected on that with your particular understanding, which, as I understand it, was the understanding that Cornelius Vanderbreggen had in this subject when I attended one of his seminars years ago in Seattle, where basically for those who are premillennialists and who have a pre-tribulational view of a two-stage return of Christ, one for the saints, the other one with the saints.
Exactly.
That in your thinking, I can accept, although that's not my own eschatology, I can follow you and accept your line of reasoning all the way down the line, because basically what you're saying is that in your view of a literal millennial state, it's something where land and the physical reconstitution of a particular entity in Palestine has to be preceded by the return of a particular group of people to the covenant and to obedience to the covenant.
That's
and
right.
to the acceptance of the core figure in the fulfillment of the covenant, who is Jesus Christ, according to traditional Christian Orthodox thinking. So in regard to your particular understanding of how you can be pre-tribulational and dispensational and at the same time not pro-Zionist at the present time, I think your thinking is entirely consistent. And while I am not a dispensational premillennialist myself, your particular take on that, I think, is very defensible. I have no problem with that because your understanding of Bible prophecy, well, it does not coincide in some respects with mine, I think is a very defensible point of view. The other thing is it does not leave you in the same position that it leaves so many people in these so-called dispensational premillennial circles,
right.
And that is supporting an entity that is clearly disobedient to the Son of God and supporting an entity that has so many people within its midst to employ evil methodologies to get what they want. And it also, your position also avoids the danger of so many people in the Christian right of failing to acknowledge the central Jewish role in such things as the abortion and pornography industries in the United States.
Right. And I hold over because I have just a couple
sure.
of things. Okay.
Hold on. We'll get back to you. This is Mark Gankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all-natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase. WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Before I get back in these final minutes to my conversation with Melissa, I'd like to tell you that on Monday, Charlotte Iserbit is going to be my guest on this show. She was a senior policy advisor in the Office of Educational Research and Development in the U.S. Department of Education during the first Reagan administration, and she is very well known for her 1985 booklet, Back to Basics Reform or Outcome-Based Education, Skinnerian International Curriculum. She also has a 1989 pamphlet entitled Soviets in the Classroom, America's Latest Education Fad, which covers the details of the U.S.-Soviet and Carnegie-Soviet education agreements, which remain in effect to this day. If you think state-run education in this country is bad news, and I suspect that means all of you out there listening to this, you need to hear this woman's presentation. That's Monday on Mark Dankoff's America, Charlotte Iserbit. Melissa, back to our conversation. Go ahead.
Yes, well, very gently I would correct you on her pronunciation of her name. It's Iserby.
Is it Iserby?
It is, because I've heard her many times, and she's corrected other hosts. So.
Hey, I would have not made that mistake had I waited till Monday to introduce anything at all about her, because I'm going to talk to her this weekend, and that was going to be my first question for her. It's Iserby?
She's an amazing woman. It's Iserby.
Iserby, okay.
Back to our conversation.
Sure.
If I'm wrong in my eschatology, the one thing that keeps me looking at the way I think and leading me to that is that the hope of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is truly the only thing that keeps me from being afraid. Because this, I'm out there. You know, they have me on several lists, I'm sure, but I don't care. So the hope of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is my focus on any given day when I'm thinking correctly and not living in the world and wallowing in it. But even if I'm wrong, what I know is that it's in 2 Timothy. Hold on, let me give you the right reference here.
Sure.
2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. I will get a crown of righteousness because I am looking forward to the Lord's appearing. For those who love the Lord's appearing, right? So I am looking constantly for the hope of the return. Whether it happens before the mess happens or after, either way, I'm going to get a reward for constantly keeping that in my forefront view. And I would encourage all Christians, no matter what your eschatology is, look forward to being able to greet our Lord and Savior. And, you know, maybe it's blasphemy, but I just want to hug his neck.
Well, I think your point is absolutely on target in regard to this issue of eschatology. I would say to everyone out there listening to this that while our eschatology obviously is something that, for those of us who have eschatology, that informs the way we look at the world, the visible, bodily, imminent return of Jesus Christ is the issue of the New Testament. How it plays out in terms of the individual details is left for God to determine and to vindicate at the end of history. This is Mark Dankoff's America signing off from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay with me Monday for Charlotte Iserby and the deliberate dumbing down of American education. Thank you. God bless.
Attention, friends of freedom and liberty. Our constitutional republic is under a vicious attack by the sinister forces of world globalization. The hour is late, and we must all actively engage our families, friends, and neighbors before it's too late. Now you can exercise your constitutional right of free speech with a statement t-shirt from the Republic Broadcasting Network and NoTyranny.com. Wearing a statement t-shirt causes people to think, challenge, and debate what they've been spoon-fed by the controlled corporate media. There's no time to sit around in fear asking yourself, what can I do? Now is the time to make a strong public statement with one of the many t-shirts from Republic Broadcasting Network and NoTyranny.com. Go to rbnlive.com's Freedom Store, notyranny.com, or call 800-724-2719.
You're listening to RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network. RBN.